Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. It always hits home closer when you realize who you are and not just what you're doing. I said this Sunday and I'll say it again that I have no problem with religion. I think religion is a good thing, but I think religion is an incomplete thing if you stop there. Religion means the rules towards something, but rules are to show you towards something. So when mom used to grab my hand when I'm walking by the road when I'm a young boy and I didn't know what to do on my own, and I'm watching cartoons, so I'm seeing people get hit by cars in the cartoons, and they just come back to life. So, you know, me as a little boy, because of what I keep seeing, I think that's the truth. So now I'm a little boy. I don't know when I go to the road that if that truck really hit me, it's over with. So mom grabs my hand and pulls me back. Restrains me, pulls me back, gives me some rules. No, don't run out there. And if I do run out there, after she told me not to run out there, you know what's next. Can I get an amen? You know what's next. And that is next to show me not to run out in that road because it's protecting my life. So the religion, the rules, the religion means to bind. Those things, you start off there because they are constraining you and training you. Train up a child in the way they should go. And when they're older, they won't depart, but there's some training that's needed. Yes. You know, we live in a, and I believe that. Once again, I say that something overdone, something, I mean, if you, you know, fourth grade was good, but if you stay there for 10 years, it's a problem. Right? But that don't mean you get to skip fourth grade. Right. That don't mean you get to say to hell with fourth grade. Right. Are y'all understanding what I'm saying? Because fourth grade is still needed for some progress you got going on in your life. Right. But there comes a time that you grow up. The scripture talks about in Ephesians 4, we'll read in a minute, that you grow up into him in all things. That means you grow up from what you used to be into who you really are, him in all things, in everything. And so growing, I grow. So I start off doing some things. We start off in the church doing some things, and we always start off with the thou shalt not. You can't do this. This is what you can't do. Come on, y'all know. Yeah. It all started with what you can't do. Y'all tell the truth. It all started with, it didn't start with who you was. I know we deep now, but it didn't start with who you were. It said, listen, God gonna get you. He gonna be on your tail if you don't do this and this and this and this. He gonna be upset if you do this and this and this. He gonna be mad with you if you do this and this and this. And so that's how we learn things. And some of us learn that way. But once we grow up, and once we're grown, once we realize we have a loving father that loves us no matter what. Sometimes the chastisement is in love. My mom used to tell me, I'm doing this because I love you. I said, no, you don't. No. My hand hurts. No, you don't. You don't love. I'm doing this because I love you. And I realized later on what the point was. And so we start off doing things, but it's all leading to a bigger thing of who I am. Even when little trees are coming up out of the ground, what they do, they put a stake. If the tree is growing the wrong way or growing in a different way than it's supposed to, they'll put a little and wrap it around them to kind of train it to grow up in the direction that it's supposed to go. I even found out, and I don't have the time to get in this, but I even found out where apples came from. He said, well, they came from trees. Well, I didn't realize how they were grown. I knew apples were flowers at first. They were flowers at first, and you had to have cross, you go YouTube it. You had to have cross pollination. I ain't got time to go to cross pollination. And the cross pollination from the bees determine whether it dies a flower or if it grows into an apple. Wow. Right? But I said, well, how? And I realized that every time there's a seed or something in the ground, the apples actually, all the seeds have different DNA. Yeah. See, like you get your red apples from the store, yeah. And you know you got the red apples, you got the green apples, right? Yeah, they plant that because as the little plant was coming up, they put a little slit in it and take a piece from the red apple tree that they had and tie it into and make it what it wants it to be. Yeah, they're creating red apples and creating green apples by catching them, putting something in them, right? And letting whatever they put in them grow with them until they become what they want them to be. Are y'all listening to what I'm saying? So it's the train up and the teaching and the training up that causes us to grow into something other than what we are right now. There's places that we're going and things that we're growing into. We're still growing. Come on, somebody say, I'm still growing. Come on, say it right now, say, I'm still growing. One more time, say, I am still growing. Now, if you think that you're not growing, you're dying. You're constantly growing. We're growing into something. We're growing into what God has called us to be. What we've seen, I've been saying this the last few weeks, but what we've seen ain't all we're going to see. There's more to see. It's not over for you. It ain't too late. Say it's not too late. Let me say it again, because I think there's something. See, the enemy tries to torment us with our age and all this stuff and where we at and what we've been doing for so long, and I wish I would have done this. Then it becomes a torment. Your past becomes a torment. It's not over. It's not too late. And there's still more. It's not over. It's not too late. And there's still more. I want to say it again. It's not over. It's not too late. And there is still more. Stop settling. So over in Ephesians chapter 4, and if we can get this across, this process of life that we're living, there's a lesson being taught every second of your life. There's this ongoing class. I know we're in class right now. We're going to be here till probably about 8 o'clock maybe, give or take a few minutes. And I know you're listening to teaching tonight. But there's an ongoing class that's going on every second of your life. Every time you are awake, there's a class going on. And there's an opportunity to learn more of who you are. Many times we let days and weeks and moments and hours pass, not even learning more about who the Father said we are, because we didn't realize there's a class going on. It's a consistent class. It don't start at 7 in the morning. This class is just eternal. Called eternity class. It's just happening. It's always there. The lesson, the teaching is always going on, but are you making yourself available to learn? Now, I'm going to challenge you. Y'all know me. Y'all know me, right? Yeah. So you know I'm going to challenge you. I like you when you're quiet, church, because that means you was thinking. And I like it when you leave out of here kind of quiet, like, I don't even know what he's talking about, what I was thinking, because I want you to be thinking about the next steps that you need to make. Yes, yes. Because the challenge is the thing that causes more growth. Amen. Yeah. Amen. So there's a lesson going on consistently. Ephesians 4 is Paul talking in a letter. So if you understand the letters, he's not sitting there preaching right here. He's actually literally not really talking out of his mouth. It's a letter that he wrote to the church in Ephesus, and someone would read it in the congregation to him because he wasn't there presently. Okay, so now chapter 4, and I don't have time to go and read everything. I read a lot of it Sunday. I don't have time to go back there. But I start off at verse 11, and he gave some apostles and prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Verse 13, till we all, how many of us?
All.
Till we all come into the unity of the faith. So that means if I'm in the unity of the faith, but you're not in the unity of the faith, we ain't all there. Right? Or vice versa. So we're going to be doing this until. So this until, like we're not going to stop until this. I am not going to stop learning until I reach this. What's coming up next? Till I come into the unity. Till I become unified with my faith. Unity of the faith. Not because we think we got faith. You are faith. Say it. I know it's scary. See, I always know the journey from doing to being is always scary because you. Who we'd have been taught, I told you the false humility thing. We'd have been told, I ain't really that good. Yeah, you're that good. You just don't know it. Yeah, your faith. You just don't know it. Till I become unified. Till I come in the unity of the faith. Till I become one with it. Remember that, become one with. Till I become one with the faith. Till me and faith. You can't tell the difference between me and my faith. I'm not talking about your Christian faith or your, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about your faith or your belief. Till when you see me, you see believing. To the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. And I talked about it Sunday. I ain't got time to get there. If you ain't got it, you wasn't here Sunday. You got to go back and listen to it yourself. Until the knowledge of the Son of God, you think it's talking about Jesus, and it is talking about Jesus, but it's talking about you as well. You're talking about you as a son. Say, I am a son. Come on, say it again. Say, I am a son of God. Say it one more time. Say, I am a son of God. So until I become unified with my faith and I understand and have knowledge that the Son of God is a representation of me as the Son of God. unto a perfect man, a mature man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Measuring all the way up. When I see you, I see Christ. When I see Christ, I see you. Ain't two different things. We all unify. Until that. But speaking the truth in love, verse 15. I don't want to skip verse 14. Thank you. That we henceforth be no more children. Tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. That means everything everybody say, you own that boat. Every time something different comes through, because that happens, we're tossed to and fro because we're looking for love in all the wrong places. You become tossed to and fro because you're looking for things to and fro. He said, where's the kingdom of God? I ain't got a time to go there. He said, lo here, lo there. Haven't you been looking for it all these other places? He said, no, the kingdom of God is within you. So I become tossed to and fro because I'm looking for something outside of myself. I've never been told that I'm what I'm looking for. So it's easy. You know, the easiest person to deceive is somebody that's needy. I'm not talking about needy on the streets. I'm talking about needy. You needy. You be, I need this. I need a word. I need a touch. You need a touch, huh? Somebody will touch you. I said, I made a statement the other day, and people were like, ooh, you know the devil answer prayers? Okay. Well, you really answer. A prayer is a request. And if I keep hearing you, because sometimes if I keep hearing you requesting the same thing, I can meet your request and tell you it's the Lord. Amen. Well, I need $50. I need $50. So I can just meet your request and say, that's the Lord doing it, when I could have really handicapped you. Because I heard you saying it. Sometimes people be praying prayers loud so somebody can hear them say it. Well, Lord, if you just send me $1,000 in the name of Jesus. So when you're needy and you're wanting, right, it's easy to fool you. Because your faith is in what you want. I can fool you real easy. You an easy one. And you think you're living by faith. You're an easy one. Because your will is only turned up to what you want and not what he wants. See, on all sides, the Father is protecting us from ourselves and showing us who we really are. Are y'all listening to me? Ourselves that society has made us to be. Protecting us from it. It's easy to fool you when you're wanting and you're praying. You say you're praying in faith, but you're really praying in want. I get too easy. Yes. You told me everything. You said all your prayers out loud. You told me the plays. I know playing football. I know you running right, so I know where to stand. You said everything. There's no mystery. Tossed to and fro. Ooh, tossed to and fro. And carried about with every one of them? All of them? That means any doctrine that come out, that's the one I'm running with. Yeah, because you need a doctrine. I know. It's going to bleed a little bit. Because you need a word, so a word coming. Carried out every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men. And cunning craftiness whereby they lie and wait to deceive. So they've been mastering what you want. I found out the other day, no, don't get all scared about this right now, but I found the other day that I was just watching, you know, I pay attention that we do a lot of stuff on social media in Japan, so I do a lot of research, and I realized, like, one time I was talking about, it could have been anything, I could have been talking about some chicken, right, and I'm scrolling down my Instagram, and this thing, you know, there's a sponsored ad from KFC. You know, and you got to be careful because you're going to be like, look at the Holy Spirit want me to go to KFC right now. The Lord knew and he put it inside of my phone. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. He knew he was trying to meet my need because I was thinking about something. It's tricky, though. You know, it's tricky. And you begin to feel like it's divine. When in actuality, somebody's just been tracking your phone and tracking your habits and tracking the way you do things. Sometimes I think they're listening. I'm not sure. And they put in your vision what you want. Well, how they knew? I was in the car by myself. I got to get you to buy stuff. No. Listen. I'm trying to tell y'all, the children of this world and their generation are wiser than the children of light. They've mastered your mindset because they know you want a lot of stuff. So, you know, you talking about hula hoops. Next ad coming up is going to be about hula hoops. You say, you know what? I was just thinking about a hula hoop. You know what? I'm about to spin it all on these hula hoops. Because you think it's divine. Well, somebody's really researched you out and found out what it is that you'll be wanting that bad. And so I'm going to give you that. I'm going to put that in front of you. I'm going to project that thing in front of you so that you can be over there and forget what's over here. Yeah, it's true. It's happening every day. And we call it the spirit. You know, it's a coincidence that I came across that. As soon as I was thinking about this, somebody put that over there for you. On the outside, you can get fooled real easy. Can't fool you on the inside. Come on out with me. On the outside, you can get fooled real easy. See, all the deception is out here. Right? But on the inside, there's some truth. Or is there, depending on your diet? I ain't talking about the physical food. I'm talking about you. Because he's going to talk about this in a second. Lying, waiting to see. Like they're waiting. They're waiting. Deception is waiting to get you. A deception. Can I talk about deception for a minute? Deception. They used to have these little pictures. Either paint the picture or, you know, every time they talk about the devil, you see the red horns. And the pitchfork and the big, you know, half horse, whatever man looking thing. And they said, devil look like an angel. Like, he pretty. He look like what you've been looking for. Lord, show me a sign. Let me see an angel. Okay, you see an angel. His name will be Lucifer. Deception never comes to where it can be pointed out. It always got to come looking like the real thing. Y'all got to listen to me right quick. Deception is always dressing itself like the thing that you think it is. That thing I'm talking about with the phone, man, that's amazing because I don't even know how they're getting that information. That's major deception, making me buy stuff that I thought I wanted to buy. I thought that's what I wanted. When actually, they didn't coerce me into something. And I didn't even know I was being tossed to and fro. They're waiting to deceive. I'm going to call my phone company tomorrow and tell them stop listening on my phone. It don't work like that. It's much deeper. They call it metadata. Verse 15, and speaking the truth in love may grow up into him. And how many things? All. Him. Talking about Jesus, talking about Christ, which is the head, even Christ. So that you grow up into Christ and how many things? All. Come on, everybody say all things. All. Come on, say it again. Say all things. All. That I grow up into Christ in all things. Say it. Come on, that I grow up into Christ in all things. Yeah. Say it one more time. That I grow up into Christ in all things. Hard question. Is that your state right now? Is that my state? Am I growing in Christ in all things? Not the things that people see. Not the things that I've categorized as spiritual in my life. How many things?
All things.
Question. Am I growing up in him in all things? Am I growing up in him in all things? I can question you, but you question yourself better. Am I growing up into him in all things? Is this what I'm doing? I'm growing somewhere. Like you're growing. You're not going to stop growing. You're growing. It's a process. It's just like time. It just keeps moving. I'm growing into something, but am I growing up into him? From whom the whole body fitly joined together, compacted by that which every joint supplied, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, make an increase of the body, edifying of itself in love. This I say, therefore, Paul's hitting this thing, I testify in the Lord, that you henceforth not walk as the Gentiles. Walk in the vanity of their minds, in the vainness. What you want is really vain. You ever wanted something really bad and you got it and it was like, oh, Lord. Y'all, tell me the truth up in the house of the Lord. You know, ego. Ain't nothing worse than ego. Ego and self-preservation. Ain't nothing worse than them because like, well, I really, really did like it. No, tell the truth. You got it, and it wasn't what it cracked up to be. You bought them shoes, and it's like, I saved up for that car, and it's like, and so you thankful. And we're going to tell the truth one day, amen.
in the vanity of their minds, thinking that vain things are the things that complete you, thinking that vain things are the things that put you over the hump. Vanity of their minds. They all doing that. Romans 12 says, be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. You transform and renew your mind, what? Towards Christ. Because you can be conformed to this world and not even know. There's a conformed Christianity. They praying for this. I'll show you. Show me your little Christian, whatever how you do it, and I'll show you somebody else doing it the same way. They just don't call it Christian. Conformed. I'm formed with. My faith has been injected. They didn't put that little thing inside of my faith, you know, the tree, and it made my apples come out the color they wanted it to. This is what I'm telling you. Having the understanding darkened, let me look this up because I want to read this definition to you real quick. Having the understanding darkened, let me get over there. Because I got the Strong's Dictionary and it kind of gives me the what the words really mean. Some of the words have multiple meaning in Greek. And it says, having an understanding darkened. So now you're in the dark. Mm-hmm. Now you can't see nothing. There's no light. Right. Your understanding is darkened. Lord Jesus. Being alienated, I look up the word alienated, it says to be estranged or be to shed out from one's fellowship or intimacy. To be estranged away, to be a non-participant, to be an alien. Having the understanding darkened and being estranged from the life of God. Being estranged away, separated away. Shed out from the fellowship of the life of God. Through ignorance that is in you. Now, the life of God that is in you, but through ignorance, you're shed away from it. And in some kind of way, you got shed away. We got shed away because the ignorance got in us. Alienated. I'm estranged. I'm out here like I don't even know God. Now, I'm not. Don't go to your morals real quick. Don't go to your morals. Don't go to your morals real quick. Your morals are baby steps. Oh, I don't do that no more. That's a baby step. Bravo. Now what? You don't do that, but what do? You're not dead anymore, but who are you? Alienated. I'm estranged. I'm walking around like I don't know him. The life of God is in me, but I'm walking around like it ain't in me because I'm kind of reached for it from somewhere else. It's strange. Why are you acting funny? You know, somebody asked you that before? Oh, you acting funny? You only say you acting funny to somebody that you're supposed to know. And they walk by you and y'all supposed to know each other, but they act like they don't know you. You acting funny. Why are we acting funny? You act like you don't know God, so you keep pleading and begging and not becoming one with. We're going to talk about the word follow in a minute. Jesus said, oh, follow me about 20 times in the Gospels. In the what? Okay. We're living like we don't know him. Give him a couple prayers in the morning, right? Make a blanket statement over the day that I dedicate my life to you, Lord, right? But you're ignorant of the life of God. Wow. So as soon as that thing come up, you panic. Mm-hmm. Or soon as I should be grown into him in all things when my coworker said this to me. But I've alienated myself. And I done went back to the other guy. Are y'all with me? Yes. Come on, y'all know, come on. If we be honest in here, that's a daily thing. We it might not be a coworker. It might just be somebody on the road that then gave you the finger, huh? Huh? Come on. It could be several different things because the lesson is ongoing. Yes. Right. Let me say this real quick for you. Running after your morals is doggone near impossible. Trying to master every thou shalt not is doggone near impossible. There were some thou shalt nots in the Old Testament. They said thou shalt not kill, but then there was a new one. They said thou shalt not kill, but then there's another law that they wrote in there. Remember they were about to stone that woman for being caught in adultery, right? Right? That was in the law. That was in the same book that said thou shalt not kill, but on this part they didn't wrote it, but you can kill her if she's over there.
What the law could not do, that was weak through the flesh. It's the same book. Running after trying to catch, you will be, I heard somebody say this, and they were talking about, you know, they're talking about dating. They say, if you try to chase two rabbits, you ain't gonna catch none. Anybody ever heard that statement before? You try to chase that two things, you ain't gonna catch neither one of them. Especially the rabbit. You know anything about rabbits, you ain't catching one rabbit. Right? And you're trying to chase after all these different things to get right when you're already right, and the right things come from you. I can fix addiction. I can fix addiction not with steps, but with one step. You. And what's on the inside of you. This is what I'm trying to say. But we chase. And then finally, when we master this part of life over here, it's like this one, it went AWOL. Anybody? Can anybody say amen? Amen. And then so now we try to calm. This is why we don't like to be adventurous. Because I done got everything working together now, so I'm just going to stay still. I got it all working. Now we're going to stay here. Let's put these in the house real quick and let's sit still so that nothing else go wrong. Right? When it comes from you, I've seen people's morality fail. Y'all think of sex and adultery and fornication and all that. You're mad. When last time you got mad for no reason? Come on, let's go to the simple ones. When last time you talked outside of your head? When last time you handled somebody bad? Oh, well, that's just how I am. Nobody asked that. That's the ones that's hard to get. You got to go deeper. You can't behavior modify that. Being alienated from the life of God through ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. That means you're blind in your heart. The blindness of your heart. Who being the past have given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanness and greediness. Verse 20. What does it say? Say it again. Say it again. The last way that I handled that last thing, and I was doing it according to my own judgments, but you have not so. Say that for, talk to yourself for a second. Say, but you have not so learned Christ. I don't know how you look at yourself, but look at yourself. So that's a question, like when something comes up, but you have not so learned Christ. When you have a disagreement, but you have not so learned Christ. When there's something that's going on and you don't really agree about it and you feel like this, you feel like you're misused or whatever, but you have not so learned Christ, because Christ was misused to the end. You get misused on whatever, he was misused to death. But you have not so learned Christ. Sometimes we hold on to things that we don't want to give. We don't want, well, if I let them have this, if I give up this, who am I going to be? I got to hold on to my pride. But you have not so learned. Well, they don't know who I am, but you have not so learned. Or have you? Have you learned? Was that your version of what you thought Christ was? He said all this stuff. Lasciviousness and uncleanness and greediness and alienated from the life of God. You're acting like you don't know who he is and your heart blind and you're ignorant on the inside. And verse 20, but you have not so learned Christ. This is not the Christ that you've learned. Or is it? Verse 21, if so be that you have heard him. Did you hear him? Hold on, no, don't answer me. Do you hear him? I know. Do you hear him? Quiet for a second. Do you hear him? Are you hearing him? Are you trying to hear him? You hearing him? If so be that you heard him. So if so, if it be real that you really heard him. And have been what? Taught by him. As the truth is where? Ain't nowhere else. There's nowhere else. Not in your universities, not in the class. No. You can find some truth and then you got to decipher through it. But the truth is in Jesus. If so be that you heard him though. And have been what? So question is, has Jesus been teaching? Don't answer me for a second. These are questions that we're going to sit on, because What I expect from this, and it don't take me long to get this, what I expect from these moments, these quiet moments, these solemn moments, is a deeper, stronger search of Jesus. He's teaching you all the time. He's going to use you to teach you. The lesson is going on right now. Because some of y'all might be cussing me out in the back of your head. And I know you're not cussing me out. You know, like, man, I can't wait till he finished because this is too tight for me. I need to work. Have I learned Christ? Ask yourself for a second. Actually, go ahead. Have I learned Christ? Ask yourself, go ahead. Open your mouth. Have I learned Christ? If I didn't go to class was going on, but if I wasn't paying attention in class yesterday, that must mean that I thought I knew. True? Am I hearing him? If so be that I've heard him and have been taught by him. So another thing is now I see that you can hear him, but you ain't learning nothing. I see that a lot. I see that a lot. You know why I see that? In me. Well, I see people, no, I see me be hearing stuff and don't be learning it. And I don't know I learned it until I'm right there and I failed it. I'm like, God, dog. Give me another shot. That you put off the conversation, put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your what?
Mind.
Of your mind. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Be renewed in the spirit. So your spirit, the life force of God in you, be renewed in that. Through your mind.
Yes, sir.
Your mind. You can have all great things in you, but if you don't, your mind is not lined up, then all great things can't come out of you because your pipes are clogged. Say, my mind. Luke 21:19, I ain't got time to go to. He says, in your patience, possess ye your souls. Possess it and put it in the right position. Align it, because be renewed in the spirit of your mind. In the spirit, on the inside, but of your mind. That means some, you have to put those things in your mind that line up with your divine.
Amen.
That means my intake, my diet. I can't be eating stuff that don't agree with me, because all we're going to get is gas. And it ain't going to smell good for nobody. Y'all know y'all be farting, y'all be passing gas. I don't know again. Yeah. You be passing gas. You know exactly what to eat to start that gas fest. You know. Y'all be playing with me, man. They be playing with me. You know exactly what it is that get it started for you. That's why you ain't eating before you came to church, because you know you're going to be sitting close to somebody. You know exactly what it is that don't agree. It might taste good, but it don't agree. It probably tastes good, but it ain't going to come out right. The manifestation is not going to be a blessing to the world. You died. Yours might be different from me. I know mine. I ain't about to say it. I know exactly. I know I can eat it and I can time it. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Boom! That's how much I know it don't agree with me. Y'all laughing at me. I know it's y'all too. You really laughing at yourself. You know what it is. Eat the ice cream and go straight to you. But it just tastes so good. It's so sweet. I'll take the risk. My diet, what goes in comes out. The abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Right? What goes in comes out. Right? It comes out transformed. That's what I'm trying to tell you. My diet, my mind being aligned, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, though. Like of it, like from your mind. Like your mind your mind is a part. You can't have a reckless mind and a God-like life. You can't be listening to everything and hearing every conversation and watching everything and talking about everything and think that you learn in Christ. And you can't pick and choose your moments. We've got to stop going from these supernatural moments. I'm spiritual today. Now, you never call yourself not spiritual, but you'll see it in hindsight. Now, that wasn't that spirit. That wasn't. I have not so learned Christ. Right? Your mind. So I said, what do I do with that mind? Those you renew it, but what'd that look like? Well, renew your mind. That's a good word. What that mean? So I do like I renew my license? I go stand in line? Let them people just keep me there all day and then pay a little money and I get a renewed license? It don't make you drive no better. renew my mind. Renew my mind. Matthew chapter 11. There's some strong pages in this Bible. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's chapter 11, Matthew chapter 11. Jesus is talking. He's going on. He's talking. He said, you know, at the very beginning of the chapter, he's got to deal with some things because John the Baptist is the one that baptized him. And everybody knew that the Lord spoke out of the sky and who he's off now. So he's sending some out of prison to say, Lord, are you the one or we look for another? So now you got to deal with that. It's your cousin and the one that's supposed to be paving the way for you. And now he questioning you. He says, go, are you the one? He said, are you the one? He said, go tell him what's going on. Go tell him exactly what's going on. And that'll be his answer. I'm not answering him. I'm not about to tell him, yes, I'm the one. Tell him what's going on. He'll know. Yes, sir. Many of our witnessing, we were talking about the other day, much of our witnessing is in a bunch of rhetoric and not lifestyle. People should be asking you, what's going on with you? People should be running up and whatever your circle of when you come in touch with people, right? I don't mean you got to walk in like Bruce Leroy, The Last Dragon with the glow, if you know anything about that movie. Right? But people should, the witness should be that they saw you and wanted to, see, Jesus' witness was always, he would, but it was like, it was something about him that's like, I'll quit everything. See, if you really met Jesus, you quit everything. I ain't got time to go there, but Peter, he said, let me use your ship. Peter said, all right, cool, because we ain't doing nothing nowhere. We ain't catching no fish, so you might as well use the ship for something, right? He didn't preach. He said, all right, now go out there, launch out in the deep, cast your net. He said, Lord, we ain't took nothing, but at thy word, I let down the net. He let down the net, closed great multitude of fish. Right after that, Peter does not start counting fish and counting the income that came in and said, we made it. He didn't say any of that. He said, get away from me. I'm a sinful man. Yeah. Then from then forward, he followed Jesus. It was something about the encounter with Christ. Everybody say an encounter with Christ. Come on, say it again. Say an encounter with Christ. Say it again. Say an encounter with Christ. There's something about an encounter with Christ that causes you to drop everything and follow. It's automatic. It's knee jerk. If you can still keep doing things the same way, you hadn't encountered Christ. Get off your morals real quick. Get off your morals real quick. Because your morals are a false sense of righteousness. Listen, that same hand that'll shake is the same hand that'll slap you. Let me teach y'all something. It's the same hand that'll pull the trigger.
Yes.
Judas did it. He kissed him and set him up at the same time. Y'all get what I'm trying to say? If you really pay attention to the Bible, you'll start seeing yourself up in there. Right? We're not talking about that. It's a deeper level than that. Your morals are flip-flop like a seesaw. As soon as the wind starts blowing, you just flew off the handle because they handled me wrong. They called me a nigga. Now you, what? Shut up. Okay. Anybody morals are flaw off like that? Answer me.
Yeah.
You're supposed to be cool. Somebody said something that, where's your morality then? You got to go deep, 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 deep down inside for the will of God for my life to remember who I am. He starts going off on a couple cities because the miracles were happening, and he went and did great mighty works in the city. But he said, I'm getting on you because you still didn't repent. We did the mighty works. The mighty works happened in your city, but you still didn't repent. In other words, you still didn't. Repent means in Greek to change your mind. I know you think it's going to the altar. I know you think it's getting on your knees. I know you think it's saying you're sorry, but it really has nothing to do with your apologies. Repenting and apology are not the same thing. Right? Because you can apologize and not change your mind. You can say you're sorry, but not really be sorry. Have you ever done it before? Stop lying to me right now. So have you ever done it? I'm sorry. But either I'm sorry, but you don't handle me like that again. You ain't changed your mind. You ain't changed your mind. Your mind ain't changed. You hadn't changed. You just wanted to stop the conversation. Y'all, you just want to stop fussing. I'm sorry. You say it fast. All right, I'm sorry. Y'all know that's the truth, man. I'm sorry. I said I'm sorry. It's true. But repenting means to change your mind. So he's on the city. These great and mighty works have gone on, but he said you did not repent. You did not change your mind. The great and mighty works were supposed to change your mind. Not about the works, but about yourself. See, repenting is really about you changing your mind about you. There are a lot of things that we've been told from knee high. And a lot of things we've been told through life situations that we've assimilated in our minds and we've called it who we are. And we identify ourselves with the situations that have long gone. Yeah.
Yes.
Wow. Repent. Jesus makes a statement. He says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Stop telling me you're sorry. Change your mind. I don't care about your sorry. I remember I told somebody I was sorry one time. I said, I'm sorry. She said, yeah, you are. Changed my life. I was never going to tell you I'm sorry again. But I'm sorry. Yeah, you are sorry. I had to, you know what? You're sorry, bro. I had to come up. I had to find that Greek repent. I had to find, change my mind. So he's on them now because all these things have been done, but you still did not change your mind. The mind should be changing. Your mind should be changing. Say, my mind.
My mind.
Say it again. Say,
my mind.
Say it again. My mind.
Should be changing.
Now watch this. It is changing, but what is it changing into? It's consistently changing. But what is it changing into? Who in your patience possess your mind, your soul? Who's possessing your soul to change it into what they want it to be? Be renewed in the spirit of your mind, right? That means I repent in my, I change my mind. I have to change my mind. No. Don't nobody change your mind. You change your mind. Come on, say, I change my mind. Come on, say it again. Say, I change my mind. You have to do it. I can tell you something good right now, and I hopefully this has been, well, I don't care, hopefully. I know it's been coming good across to you, and you're going to think about it for a little while, but it ain't going to change until you decide to. And usually change requires yielding. You have not so learned Christ. The lesson is going on, but are you learning? Somebody could teach, but are you learning?
The learning is, if I'm the teacher and you're the listener and you're the learner, then learning is on you, not me. That means I can say something that catapults your life into another dimension and say something that'll change your life forever, but if you have not so learned. So he tells him this, he's going to be worse than Sodom and Gomorrah for y'all. It's going to be worse than that because I came in, had mercy and grace, I did signs and wonders, and you still didn't change your mind. Sometimes we are that way. When the grace of God kicks in, the grace of God is supposed to make up for your lack of your mind. Let me help y'all for a minute. Grace is a space that is in place until you grow up. It's not to be lived off of.
Yeah. Yeah. Come on. That's good. Wow.
It's not to be lived off of. That's why and he said, I do not frustrate the grace. Well, grace was, why how could it get frustrated? It's frustrated because it's been used over the time. Wow. Or it's been used over in the time that you should have been growing up and walking like Jesus now, but now I got to cover you because you're still acting like a child. Yeah. Welfare is not to live off of for the rest of your life. It's for to be in place until you get yourself together. Yes. Until somebody helps you out or puts you on your guard, get you to learn something. But it becomes abused. We've been abusing grace. Amazing. No, we've been abusing it. Because it's meant to be a space. Right? Thank God for grace. Get all the space I can get. But it wasn't meant to just, I'm just living in grace. And then now grace has another definition because it's talking about the manifold graces. That means you should go from a saving grace to a savior grace. Y'all got to hear me, man. You should go from a grace that saves you to a grace that enables you to be everything that you are. Paul talking about, you're bound in this grace also? There's a different grace. Repent. So then he gets to verse 25 and saying, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven. And I'm going to leave you with something. I'm going to challenge you to do something. Thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid things from the wise and the prudent and has revealed them unto the babes. In other words, if you think you're a senior Christian, you're probably not hearing it. The worst thing to happen is to think you've mastered something that you haven't. It is the biggest feeling of insecurity when the rug is pulled from under your feet when you thought you were standing on something so strong. Huh? Are y'all listening to me? Thinking that I mastered something, but you have not so learned Christ. But you have not so learned Christ. But you have not so learned Christ. That was a statement. But you have not. You hadn't really learned him. Even so, Father, for it has seemed good in thy sight. Verse 27. How many things? All things are delivered unto me of my Father. And no man knoweth the Son. Ephesians 4 starts talking about the understanding of the knowledge of the Son, huh? Yeah. I'm talking about the knowledge of the Son, huh? Yeah, you got to go put that together on your own. I wish you would do that after we leave here. Because the time I have in the clock, the hour, and any time, is not enough time to really get you to the depth that you really want to get to. No, I said that you want to get to. Yeah. All right. If I take you in the deep and pull you under, you got murdered. So there's no sacrifice. But if you willfully swim down and give your life, that's when you reap what you give, right? You receive what you give, right? He who loses life is going to find it, right? Yeah, but you got to willfully lose that yourself. I can't take it from you because I'm a murderer. You made me break a commandment. It's in your seat. It's in your seat. It's in your seat. Your seat by yourself. I can't take you to the depths. I can just show you where the water is and show you how to dive deep. But I'm not going to be a murderer.
That's why Jesus was saying stuff. He said, you don't take my life, I give it. Right? Because if they took it, then it would have messed up his sacrifice. If I take you somewhere, if Apostle takes you somewhere and he didn't show you how to walk, you'll never know how to get back there if you ever lose your way. Y'all got to listen to me. Just listen to me because we're going to get there in a second. Just listen to me. Okay. No other son but the Father. Neither know any man the Father save the Son. So in other words, you don't know the Father if you don't know you're a son. Can I say it again? You don't know you're a son. You don't know who you are as a son. You don't know the Father. You know God, but you don't know the Father. Right? It's different. He God. He did. Right? But you don't know him as your Father. And he whosoever the Son will reveal him. Verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. This is Jesus talking, right? And I will give you rest. You see it? Now, I'm gonna say it again, that you have to come. It's funny, but that example on Sunday was funny. Anybody remember that example on Sunday? Yeah, we just were standing there like, I said, come here. I said about 4 or 5 times. I was like, yo, come here. I saw homeboy Johnny sitting over there. He put down his Bible because he put his Bible down. He was like, you mean come up? I was like, yeah, come here. Right? And you don't move because you still think it's an example. Wow. Or sometimes we don't move because we don't think they're talking to us. Yeah. Or sometimes we don't move because we don't think we need it. So we stop the pursuit. Listen to what I'm saying. It's maturity class, right? Yeah. Come under me, y'all. I'm not talking about it right now. So is he testing me right now? No, I ain't testing. I'm reading it. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now remember, I love Jesus because he always puts the ball in your court. Because I cannot take you. You got to come. I was about to say that, but I don't. Okay, I'm going to say it. Probably some of y'all favorite song. Anybody take me to the king? Anybody take me? You got to go. God bless the song. It's nice. I think it's tight. It feels good. I'm not even demonizing the song right now. You'd be like, burn that city. No, I ain't talking about that. Ain't nobody, you got to come. You know, if I really take you, I kidnap you?
Yeah.
If I take you outside of your will, I've kidnapped you. So your will has to be already turned into going.
Yeah.
So it means you don't really need to, I can show you the path, but you don't really need to take it because you've already turned your will to come. Now we can walk together because I can two walk together except they.
Agreed.
So he says, come unto me, all that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon me, learn me, for I'm meek. Take my yoke. Take my yoke. Everybody say, take his yoke.
Take
his yoke. Come on, take his yoke. You grab it and take it. Come on, put it on. You grab it and you put it on. You willfully yoke yourself. Use your hand right now. And you grab it and you put it on. I willfully, with my mind and my will, grab it and put the yoke on me. Can you put this yoke on me in the name of Jesus? Lay your hands on me. No, take the yoke. And learn of me. In other words, I'm teaching you, but you got to learn. I'm teaching you, but you got to learn. The lesson is going on, but you got to learn. The lesson is ongoing every second, but you still got to learn. Don't go to sleep in class thinking that everything is okay because you missed something important. For I'm meek and lowly in heart, and then you're going to find rest. I'm going to give it to you, but I gave it to you already, but you got to find it. Jesus would make a statement. He said it over 20 times, and I'm about to push you towards something. And it's not going to sound very deep, but if you haven't done it, then you're still swimming in the kiddie pool. Okay? Oh. He said, come, take up the cross and follow me. And I don't have time to go to all the follow scriptures. You can look it up, it'll be some good lessons for you. But the word follow, I looked it up, and it says, you know, I looked it up in the Greek, and it has two or three different meanings, and it, depending on the context. But it says to follow near, to attend, to trace out, conform to. To attain, follow, fully know, have understanding. So when he's saying follow me, he says have full understanding of me, like me. When I say follow me, I want you to attain me. Attain the status that I have. I know it's not just walking behind you. You know, we think follow the leader, right? Well, I know it just ain't that, because he told Peter, get behind me, Satan. Y'all remember that? And so it wasn't the geographical, you standing behind me, because I put Satan behind me. So if I'm telling you follow me, I ain't going to make you stand with Satan. Are y'all with me? He's talking about conforming to me. Take conform, con, I used to learn in Spanish. Con means with, form is form, form with. You be form with me. Take my form. Question, have I learned Christ that way? Have I taken his form? Have I taken this form? Ask yourself, have I taken this form? Ask yourself, I do that for a reason. I make you open your mouth and say something, because, you know, you can plead the fifth and take no responsibility. Well, I plead the fifth. Have I taken this form? Say it.
Have I taken this form?
To follow is one to be always by his side. So to follow as to always be by his side. And the other one, to join one as a disciple, to side with his party, to be in the same way with. Then it comes from a word, and I can't even say this Greek word, is alkalothio, but it's from one, it's particle of union. And it really means, when I say follow me, I say come, become one with me.
Yes, sir.
So give up what you've been doing, take up your cross and become one with me. Now, I don't know if I'll ask a question, it's going to end up being a pep rally, but how many of y'all are followers of Christ? You don't even know right now. I don't know. I really kind of follow him. I'll be walking. I'm glad. Don't lie to me up here. I'm serious. How many of us, I'm trying to say it right, you believe your followers are, you would want to follow better. That's a good word. That's a good one. Thank you, Lord. Let's just say that. Right? I want to be in his way better. I want to conform to him better. I want to be one with him better, because that is the end goal. My grow up, it says I grow up into him. That means you don't see no difference. Jesus would say some things, it wasn't an easy follow, Rich. Like, it's not an easy follow. It's not a, he's not an easy follow. Like, he is an easy follow, but according to society and the mainstream way of thinking things, it's not easy. Because there's so many thoughts that's going in the stream that way, and it seems like you're swimming upstream sometimes, right? Because all thought processes are going that way. Tell the truth, right? And it takes some sacrifice. It does. Your daily devotion not going to get it for you. Your service times on Sundays and on Tuesdays is not going to do it. Your favorite praise CD is not going to do it for you. Fasting every now and then is not going to do it for you. I ain't saying don't fast, but you should be fast. We should be fast, right? But there is a search, and there's a lesson that's going on consistently. But we tend to overlook it religiously. We tend to think that I know that already. That's the worst thing in the world, to think you know already, and you don't. So I assume that I don't. Jesus even did that. Jesus said he made himself a, let his mind be also in Christ Jesus, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, or Philippians 2, but be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. So I'm not sitting up there acting like I know everything when I came, because I'm the Son of God. There's a I'll be trying to stress this. I'm just going to stress it right now. I got a couple seconds. There's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. These are the only accounts of Jesus walking with his feet on 10 toes on the ground like us and doing everything he did amongst the same type of societies that we walk.
Yeah.
Right? Right? These are the ones where he's speaking to us. Any has ears to hear, let him hear.
Yeah.
All these, this is in the red words. Everybody say red words.
Red words.
But we skim over the red ones.
Yeah.
We like to read Proverbs for wisdom, but ain't no wisdom but being wisdom. And so we skim over those red ones.
Uh-huh.
And we don't dive into them. And we don't sit in the red until the red drenches us red. So that's my challenge. I ain't got nothing but a couple of seconds, but that's my challenge. Those red words, and it's free. It's freely given. Ain't talking about you the whole time. Amen. We're somewhere new. This ain't the regular thing that's been. An apostle has hit this stream, this level of flow. Are y'all listening to me?
Yeah.
And we're all in that same course, the same pathway. But we're going to have to grow up. Okay? I've learned that you can move faster when you be faster. I learned that all of us can go. I can only imagine what it was like for the children of Israel. I understood why it took 40 years for a 3-day journey. Because everybody had their own mindset and nobody was on one accord and nobody was thinking that one thing that was needful. And so everybody's got their own opinion. So it takes so much longer to get to where you need to get to when it's only 3 days away. And so, you know, I know how you feel. I know you feel certain things and you like certain things and you have certain opinions and have certain thoughts and have certain ways you like to do things. Your house is like that, your house is like that. I understand that. But the thing that we all have in common is greater is he that is. And we can walk together and agree when we focus on that one thing that's needful. I'll say it again and I'm walking out the door. Get into those red words. He's talking to you about you. Ain't nothing. He's talking to you about you. Those red words fulfill every other word you read in the Bible. You can read all the whole Bible and not master the red ones and it'll be unfulfilled. So get into them. It's a personal devotion. It's a personal step. It's a personal devotion. It's not really, it's a group effort because we go to church together, but it's not really a group effort. You have to decide and be determined. Our apostles do that to me. I'm walking out the door, y'all. Apostles put things in place for us to be dedicated. We never could get a Bible study going with our family. We try to get a Bible study. We just never could get it going. Right? But he will put things in place for us. And he said, you know, you need to pray a little bit more. You need to stand in place a little bit more. Right? You need to dedicate yourself. He'll still say it today. Y'all not hungry enough. That's what he tell us. I understand what he's saying now. I get what he's saying. The hunger has to go up. Come on, everybody say the hunger has to go up. And when my hunger go up, my feeling goes up as well. Y'all got it? Amen. You're dismissed.